has no effect on them at all. So while you're spraying them, they're still flailing, striking, looking for a weapon, trying to grab you, poke you, kick you, stab you, shoot you. So this covers, this is called the Dracula's cape, by the way. This covers your face and minimizes the spray back, protects your neck and face and the side of your head, right? You spray them with, I bless you. Reason it is, head to stomach, shoulder to shoulder. They're going like this. It gives time for the gases to come up that are sprayed on their shirt to come up into their face. It takes a little bit longer. This stuff works really nice with direct contact because it burns. But basically it works if you inhale it and it inflames the sinuses and the membranes and basically you... and painful. It takes time. But doing, I bless you, sarcastically, you say, I bless you. You can say it, I bless you, I bless you. Once you use it till it's empty. Or you're out of range. You're moving as you're doing it. And if they get too close, give them a good shot in the shin and keep moving. Key point is, it takes time for this stuff to work. And two, it's not everybody's affected by it, and not everybody's affected by it as quickly as others. Jacob, as part of his academy, was pepper sprayed with the stuff they carry at the jail. And it's a lot stronger than this stuff. He had to go to the table after he was sprayed, identify three different weapons that are on the table, go to a heavy bag and punch the heavy bag for 15 seconds, and do one more task, and I forget that was it, before he was allowed to sit down. He did all those tasks before he sat down. So how incapacitated was he by the pepper spray? It was the most unexpected. You know, he does not want to do it again. They did it so that, one, you know that it doesn't work right away, and two is how unpleasant it is to the person you're doing it. So don't be too trigger happy. My case is if you have to use it, you use it. And if they're on the ground curled up screaming for mercy, you spray them as much as you can, as far as you can away until it's empty. I'm sorry. They've all stepped over the bounds. They get what they get. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Once you use it, throw it out. So every day, take it and give it a shake. Yeah?
Do you mind if I read my verse for the day that goes with what you just
sure.
said?
Sure.
This verse came into my box today. Blessed be the Lord my God, who trains my hand for war and prepares my fingers for battle. And David said, blessed be God for giving him that.
Right. So that's my view. Is some people have said to me that self-defense is not biblical, and I'm saying, I'm sorry, I don't agree. You look at David's response to Goliath, says, how dare that uncircumcised Philistine? God will take the day, and what did he do? He got up and he fought. God will provide, and then what did he do? He went and fought. You know, you're working on sort of like the sin of presumption, say, God will take care of me. Yes, okay, here's a joke. This gentleman was in his farm, and there was a flood coming. They sent the police by to say, Mr. Jones, you have to leave your farm. There's a flood coming. It's going to be an epic flood like we've never seen before. Okay, thank you. God will provide. It starts raining and the flood starts. The water's up to his porch. The fire department comes by and says, Mr. Jones, you have to evacuate. The flood is coming. God will provide. I'm fine. I'm staying where I am. The water is now halfway up his door. A boat comes by and says, Mr. Jones, come on in. The flood is here. God will provide. I'm fine. I'll stay right here. The water is now at the roof, and he's on the roof. They send the Coast Guard by, Mr. Jones, get back. No, God will provide. He'll take care of me. Well, unfortunately, Mr. Jones didn't make it. He drowned in the flood. So he's up in the pearly gates and says, God, why didn't you provide? God says, I gave you four chances. I sent the police, the fire department, I sent the boat and the Coast Guard, and you didn't use them. I'm sorry. Right. Now, we've done a little bit on EDCs. Is there anything else you might carry that you might consider that might be... Basically, the idea is to look at it as anything can be a weapon. Now, I already think that way. And a little bit, my wife thinks I'm a little warped. I look at keychains and doodads and gizmos, and I think automatically, how can I use this as a weapon? I can't help it. They make all kinds of stuff, these little things you put on the back. It's called griptilians. It's a little stud thing that if you grab someone, it hurts like heck and leaves marks. They have things you can tie to your boots that put spikes on them. Little weights you can put on the back of your caps The problem is now you've weaponized something. You have to explain why you've weaponized it. So basically, carry stuff that you can explain and that you're going to carry. If you don't like this, you're not going to carry it. But this on your keychain isn't as big of a deal. And as far as I'm concerned, it's just as effective. So one, carry something that you're going to carry. You're going to carry it regularly. Know how to use it. Practice on something. You know, if they make these nifty ones that look like bulldogs with these sharp pointy ears. You put your fingers through them and they, you know, like cats and, I mean, all kinds of nasty skulls. They have these points, big plastic points on. They look really cool until you take it and try to hit something with it. The holes are too short, too small, and too close together, and it hurts like heck to hit something. You want them to hurt more than you do. So it needs to be comfortable. You need to be comfortable using it. You need to practice it. It's nice to have one of these, but if you don't know how to use it, it's just jewelry. I will show you how to use this. I'll give you a mini course. Right? It's not going to be extensive. It's going to be mini because it's going to go with my principles of this here. When we use the five disparities, I work on what's called reflexive responses, the flinch. Someone throws something at you, you go, oh, right? We do that naturally. Fly, oh, geez, what the heck, right? That's a lot easier to learn than doing. You know how many times I had to do those to learn how to do those accurately? Minimum 100 times just to get the basics down right, 1,000 times to get it to where it's automatic. Reflexive actions, you already get down. It's a matter of going like, to. It's tweaking it. Now, it's a lot easier to learn, a lot easier to remember, a lot easier to practice. You already got the ingrained, to. Okay? It's already ingrained, so you're just redirecting it a little bit. So it's faster, easier to learn. Using natural weapons. You know how long it took me to learn how to make a proper fist? And that's how come I have so many broken knuckles over the years. All right? Making a proper fist, you curl your fingers down tension-wise, and you're tightening them. Everything is tight. All right? That is now a brick. Okay? But how do you keep this tight and this loose? Because if your whole arm is tight, it's going to slow it down. Power is speed. You hit somebody. Now, we're going to give you, I'm going to give you a definition. Difference between a punch and a strike. A punch hurts. A strike does damage. Punches are used to set up for strikes. You do not rely on punches and pain to get your point across. Ripping out the ear hole is nice, but that's not what it's going to be doing. That's going to distract him enough to give you a, give him a good shot that's going to take him down. So we're going to take a little bit break. I need something to drink. Then we're going to start talking and doing this stuff here. Because I work on the disparities, I work on natural reflexive actions, and I work with natural muscles. I'm not going to be teaching you any fancy kicks. Maybe one or two kicks, all right? The strike's going to be simple, but I'm going to be focusing on targets. There was a lawman. I want to get this right because this is important. Let me see if I have. What is his name? I want to make sure I get it right because. His name was Hammer. I can't remember his first name. I have to go up. He was considered one of the toughest lawmen in the United States. He was the guy that tracked down, shot, and killed Bonnie and Clyde. He was infamous for breaking up fights and taking people down with one technique. Swift, sharp kicks to the shins and knees. Whenever he got in a fight, it never failed. He always won, and he had that one technique. That's all he did. He didn't box, he didn't punch. He kicked. Now, granted, he probably wore some nice cowboy boots like I have with the nice hard leather soles they used to have in the 40s and 50s. But his reputation is nobody wanted to get in a fight with him because you would be hurting. Getting kicked in the shin hurts like heck. Getting kicked in the ankle hurts even more. He made his whole technique on that. You don't have to have a lot of different techniques. You just have to have one or two that work well for you, and you practice them. Now, I have a specific way of fighting that I developed over the years because of my physicality or lack thereof. When I became a problem with arthritis, I couldn't move. So I learned how to use the cane, which is another EDC. People don't think of it as a weapon. They should. I could only take one or two steps at one time without keeling over. So that I also developed the fact that I want to grab somebody. Well, I have what I call twist and shout. Have you ever fallen? You know, and as you're falling, you're twisting, and you fall in an awkward position. How much that hurts more than just falling straight back? When I was being taught the martial arts, they always taught you don't fall with a twisted spine or don't cross your spine. Because that's what causes damage. Well, guess what? I'm going to show you how to make sure they fall that way. So when they fall, even if they fall down, you pull them down, they're going to hurt themselves badly. If you do it right, you could actually do damage to their neck. It's what's called neck cranks. Now, the stuff I'm going to show you is not nice. It's not politically correct. This is fighting because you have no choice. There are no rules. There are no things that you are not allowed to do. The only thing you want to do is you want to hit them harder than they hit you, and you want to make them feel like they've just made a mistake. Or when they wake up, they realize they've made a mistake. Now, legally, some of the things I'm going to tell you are considered dangerous, minimally, lethal. You stomp somebody, you're going to break them, all right? You stomp someone in the head, that's assault and battery with intent to murder with a shod foot. You can kill somebody. I'm going to show you how to stomp properly, all right? You knee drop someone on the head, you could kill them. It's a lethal technique. But depending on the situation, that consideration needs to be put in the back burner. When you're in that, that's why it's in red. You've exhausted your other ones. You've already tried to, if possible, and with as much as within your control, to live at peace, and you can't. Now it's them or me. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. Right? So we're going to take a quick break, about 10 minutes or so. Get something to drink, stretch your legs, because I'm going to stop using my uki to demonstrate some simple stuff. I work with natural weapons. And the idea is to have limited but well thought out tools, being aware of what body parts are what tools. And we're going to talk a little bit about the disparities, because these are important. These are principles. Disparity of size. Now, I picked Eli for obvious reasons. He's bigger than I am. The assumption is whoever's bothering you, attacking you, pestering you, is about to beat you, is probably bigger than you are or stronger than you are. There's no such thing, remember, there's no such thing as a fair fight. So inequalities are there. So if you learn how to use those inequalities to your benefit, him being bigger than me is going to be my advantage. I'll show you how to use that. Disparities of position. What if you're seated and someone assaults you? Now, I can show you how to defend yourself from a seated position, but that's something that we don't have the time for right now. But I'll bring it into mind that that is a position to be aware of. Again, being aware of where you are and what's around you so you not get caught in a seated position. You can fight from a seated position. It's not easy. Disparity of skill. Now, this is the one you don't know about. This is the unseen one because you don't know how skilled they are at fighting. If they've grown up in the streets, they've learned how to street fight, and they know how to fight. And there's no rules, it's nasty, and it works. Okay? Be aware of your lack of skill. You have to be aware of your shortcomings and use them to your advantage and be aware of them so that they're not used against you. I am not a quick mover on my feet anymore. My whole style of fighting is to twist and shout, and I'll explain that why. I get in close on the outside behind, and I will drag them down and twist them up and then hurt them real bad. I can take two or three steps quickly. That's about it. And that's what I need for my style. Now, again, my style is what works for me. I'm going to show you what works for me. If you don't feel that it works well, don't be afraid to play with it. Okay? A lot of the principles are general principles, but my particular style is what works for me. Age and physicality. Be aware that you are limited because of your age or your physical cality, your physical whatever. That is it. God, that's the way God created you. That's the way it is. You're young, you're small, you're old, decrepit. I'm sorry. That's what you got. So you use what you got. But be aware of it. Now, number five, attitude. They already have a crappy attitude about you. You need to have a firm, focused attitude. Right makes might. Anger, not fear. The problem is you get in a fight, adrenaline is going to be flowing. When adrenaline flows, fine tactile skills go out the window. Right? Small movements don't happen. So the stuff I'm going to try to show you with my time is big movements, large targets. You're going to get tunnel vision. You may even freeze. You may have memory loss. What's your name? Well, the adrenaline's there. It has the back effect. Adrenaline kind of like washes your memory. All right? Be aware of these situations. Unless you've been in a situation, had been beaten on, had someone punch at you, your reactions are going to be different. You're going to have to, I'm going to tell you, I can't do this. You're going to have to train. There's methods of training to get used to this. They're not pleasant. They're not fun. But they can train you into getting used to being hit. It's moderately uncomfortable, but if it's done properly, it's not. Being yelled at. How many people are used to being yelled at? I mean, really yelled at. In your face, yelled at. I have a very strong flight or fight instinct. Now, my problem is when I can't do either, I get a little bit conflicted and I actually get upset. All right? If I can run or if I can hit, I'd be perfectly happy. But if I have to deal with it verbally and sit down and use my brain, it gets a little confusing for me. So be aware, in a physical situation, your brain is not going to work the way you're used to having it work. So the idea of what I want to show you is using natural reflexive motions, which take less time to learn, use large weapons with large targets, right? Making the disparities your advantage, not their disadvantage, right? And you're going to hurt them more than they hurt you because you walk home, gimp home, go home, they don't. You have to have that attitude. You have to have angry in a rock-hard way. Not a burning, roaring fire like gasoline that burns out very quickly, but that hot, heated rock that's just under red hot that they go to pick up and it burns them. That hard, you have to be hard, because if you've done these and you're in this, and remember, we've done all this that we can, and you still have to do this, you can't hesitate, you can't flinch. Don't question should I or could I. You see an opening, you take it. Now, there was a video I was watching about a guy who was being held up by an armed robber. He'd been held up 6 times in the last month and a half. The guy had a gun. He was reaching across the counter. He actually reached out and held the gun twice. But because he was so tentative, he didn't grab it. He could have grabbed it with both hands, pulled the guy off the counter. But because he was so tentative, the thing is, he touched the guy and had the gun in his hand twice. Could have had control of it. Now, when it comes to weapons, before we get to anything else, the reality of fighting a knife or being fighting against someone with a knife is you're going to get cut. You're going to get stabbed. When I was training in sharpened pointies, the saying was, winners drip, losers gush. There was one other time I got stabbed I didn't mention. It was by a friend, and we were doing a training session, and he did not properly prepare his knife. He brought a steak knife from home. He wrapped it with duct tape and a little bit of cardboard. He didn't do a good job. Well, he stuck me in the fleshy part just below my keister. I have a nice little dimple there that I'm not going to show you, that I'm not sure my wife is aware of why, how I got it. About an inch and a half deep into the muscle and about that wide. Was not fun. And it was a mistake. I made the mistake, and he made the mistake, and he didn't properly. We quickly changed how we no longer use live blades. A knife is a touch weapon. It means all it needs to do is touch you to have an effect. There's two attacks with a knife, slashing or thrusting. They can come from any angle. And anywhere it touches you, it cuts, it hurts. Now, some places are more deadly than others. Some places you're going to bleed like a stuck pig, but you'll live. Other places, if you get cut in the neck, all right, you got about a minute. About 20 seconds, 25 seconds of that, you're going to start losing consciousness. You are going to bleed out, and it happens real fast. It is dramatic. I've seen a video where this lady, when a surveillance video, she was attacked by someone. She got slashed in the neck, and you see the blood spurting 5 feet out her neck. Every time her heart pumps, she's up. And she's holding a neck, and it's still spurting, and she's running after him. And they cut the video. She didn't last longer than 15 steps down the street yelling at the guy, and she passed out dead, and she's dead. Your best defense against a knife is not being there. Run like heck. Distance. Using tools to keep him at bay. Doesn't matter. That's your worst scenario. A gun. Unless you've trained with a gun, it's the same thing. They have it out. You're already in the wrong place. There is training to train you on that. I can train you how to defend yourself against a knife. You're going to get cut. You're going to get hurt. You train you how to defend yourself with a gun. Pete would do that. It's not the best scenario. So the idea is to learn these first, so you don't have to deal with that. But if it comes to unarmed, means no weapons or a minimum of weapon, I'm going to show you how to do that. Now, Eli's volunteered to be my uki. Uki literally means dummy. But not as you are a dummy. It means like dummy as in a inanimate object. Now, typically in martial arts, the uki is there to so I can demonstrate something so you can see it and I can look good. We've done minimum amount of, I prepared him a little bit, but not much, all right? So he does not know what I'm going to do. I told him the responses I expect from him so that he does not get hurt. Now, I can control my strikes. Okay? Let's turn this way so that everybody else can see it too, all right? Now, don't move, okay? I can look him in the eye. Just touch the shirt, right?
Yeah.
Okay? I can don't... look him in the chest. I can look him in the eye. I can look him in the face. All right? Speed in punches is power. All right? The thing is, if I actually was to hit him, I would be stopping here. Now, remember, I'm not a big proponent of closed fists, but the certain parts, fleshy parts, it isn't as bad. If I was to block a punch... this hand, he gets it up, right? This is called swatting block. Instinctual, right? He goes to punch me in the face slowly, right? Use this hand. Okay? My actual block is this. Do it again. My shift, okay? This is the speed, gets it out of the way. This is my barrier, control. Now, I'm working tight up on the arm when I go to grab him after a block. I'm grabbing here. Reason is, if I go here, I can pull him, but I have to pull myself way down here. Now, again, the problem is because of his size, I'm not going to get a good grip, so I'm not going to use my go-to technique, which I'll show you, but I wouldn't use it on his size. I grab from the elbow, and if I grab from the elbow, see how much more I can pull him? So I would get it out of the way, block, see how his body's twisted now? My go-to technique is after the block is coming in and striking straight up into this part of the head. And if I hit, I'm going to follow through all the way out to here. But as I'm doing that, I'm also pulling. So now I get coming and going. But it's not going to work on him. He's too tall for me. He's too big for me. Okay? Paul, come here. He's more size to work on that. To demonstrate more on... This is my favorite technique. Now, I'm going to ask you to throw a straight punch slowly at my face right here. Okay? This side. Okay? I'm going to block. Come up. Okay? Speed. Gets it out of the way. This is control. Control. I'm going to step in. As I step in, I'm going to... Now, what's happening? I'm pulling here, I'm contacting here, right? But I'm going right straight through. So not only is it the distance this is traveling, he's coming, so he's... It's like you hit a wall doing 20 miles an hour in a car. You hit a car coming in the opposite direction doing 20 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour. I've just doubled his smack right here, right? And I'm going to be traveling right straight through. Then I'm going to grab him by the head. In control. Smaller opponent, that can be done. Okay? From here, I can do a simple, just one hand, again. Walk through and kick. You notice what weapons I'm using? Large shin. All right? I'm not using my toes and my heels.
Do that one more time.
Yeah. Wait for me to tell you so I don't whack you when I'm not supposed to. All right. This is what they call a walk through. All right. See, I'm just taking one step. Okay? Again. Walk through. Now my next step is my natural step. I'm just making sure I'm catching him. Now, does that hurt?
Yeah, a little.
All right. My shins are still fairly tough, but I'm catching my shin on his shin. Okay? But I'm not catching it directly on his shin. I'm taking it to the side a little bit. Your best bet is to take, you don't want to hit bone to bone. Okay? And if I was to continue that through, I'm going to take a big step, and he's going to take a big step. And if he hasn't fallen, I'm going to come back. My hands are here. I'm going to come back. Okay. I'm aiming for that group of muscle just above the knee, okay, coming directly in this way. Right? If I aim to the side, I'm going to do the same thing but on the side here. Anything below the knee is either a straight kick into the muscle or a stomp. Okay, thank you for equal size. Now it's back to Eli. Big weapons. Adrenaline flowing, your fine motor skills go out the window. So we're going to be working a target from here. Let's turn this way so Jake can see. From here to here, okay? And I'm going to be using from here to here as my weapon. Okay? I'm going to be attacking in a situation like this. I'm not going to be nice. And I just touched you, right?
Yeah.
All right. I just touched him. And I went straight up. I'm going to do very slowly. Real life, I'm going to hit, and I'm going to go back. That's a choke. You have lots of little small bones in your throat that are very sensitive to being hit. Minimally, a quick shot to the... is a... can, and it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Right here. The side of the head, below the behind the ear, is that little lump in your brain, your skull. Right? You feel it? Guess what that does in your brain? That controls all your autonomic reflexes, like your breathing, your heartbeat, the things that you don't have to constantly think about. If I whack that, what do you think it does? It could, but minimally it hits a reset. Your body automatically, your brain stops for a fraction of a second, shuts down, and does a check to make sure everything's functioning. You can do the same thing by attacking here. Here's the carotid artery. All right? Can you see this all right, Meg? Okay, if I... Okay? I'm not using this, I'm using this. He's doing very good. Now, that was just a touch, but you feel the... Your brain can go, your eyes go this in your head. It's because your brain's doing that in your head. Being this size, I can't get to these targets, but I can get to this one. All right, hear that? Relax. I'm not going to. Hear that? Okay. Now, you're aiming for this joint right here, this spot right there. If I wanted to, I could make him go down to his knees with one strike, open hand. Okay? I'm not actually, I'm going to show you how it's done. Relax. Let's step over here so we can turn this way. Relax. Relax. I'm not actually going to do it, but I'm going to show you. You're going to feel it.
Yeah.
You're going to feel the brain jingle, but you're not going to go down.
Okay?
The strike is this.
Oh, we did kind of do a little.
Yeah. Well, that's just touching him. It's an empty-handed strike. Your hand is actually loose. Okay? And what I'm doing, I'm coming up over like here, and I'm using my forearm. I'm connecting right here along the muscles, the traps here, the muscles, and partly across what's that bone?
Collarbone.
Collarbone. Thank you. Thank you. Because he's bigger, I have to actually come across. Hear that?
Yeah.
You all right?
Yeah.
All right, you ready a little more? Did you see him stagger? Was that, you weren't trying, you didn't have any, okay. That is 1/20th of what I would use. The reason it works is because of where I'm placing it and the tools I'm using. What I'm doing, I'm temporarily interrupting the flow to the brain. So it causes that reset. Now, if I actually did that, I'd be hitting him and I would be following down to about his sternum in my shoulder, okay? And I'd be twisting my shoulders and my hips. He would be going down to his knees. And for a fraction of a second, he's going to be like graying out. He could actually go out. Once he's down there, I can do whatever I want. Okay? That's the proper, simple technique. He's flinching already. It's like, oh, sorry. I'm going to buy you a lot of coffee. All right? Simple technique, proper targeting. You want to strike someone in the sternum. That sounds good, right? All I did was touch him. Right? The strike is here, right? But watch my hips. Watch my shoulder. See how my arm is bent when I actually make contact. When I'm doing it for fast and effect, I'm doing that. When I'm going to do it for real, I'm going to hit him. I'm going to curl in, twist, push. Right? Your body can't take... The idea is he will bend with the strike. And that's what you want to do if you get hit. You want to fold up and bend with the strike. Control breathing out. That creates a cushion, like an airbag effect. But if I'm doing it fast enough, he can't change that. It's going to affect him. Now, the interesting is I'm not aiming exactly sternum. I'm actually just aiming above that little notch right there where your sternum is. Because you know what's there? Your diaphragm. You're actually sending the diaphragm into spasms. You can also do that with a strike right here. You'd be a very good sport, thank you. That shot, now that was just fast and a touch, right? Just enough that didn't actually hurt, but it's like, well, hopefully it didn't hurt, right?
No,
okay.
It didn't hurt.
Now, if I did that a little bit more, that spot right there, there's a bunch of nerves that are above on the ribs, just above the floating ribs. In line with the armpit and just below the chest, all right? That also affects the diaphragm. Now, remember that simple block I did. See, the advantage of his size now becomes my advantage because I get the low-hanging fruit. Another attack to that is if you just swing, you just hit him in the armpit. Feel your armpit. Is there muscle in that little gap?
Yes. No, not really.
No, all right? No matter how muscular the person is, there's going to be a gap there. And guess what's right underneath there? Is your arm joint, right? And right there, there's a lot of muscles. There's a lot of nerves that go to that. If I was to take my hand and use this to strike into the armpit, it's going to hurt. Now, remember what I said about pain versus damage. These are all setups. This one, it may not hurt as much, but you're going to cause a shutoff. That's what you want. So the other principle is, okay, come over here. Come on. Nice. Huh? He's thrown a punch, straight punch. I've blocked it. That's my speed. I've gotten out of the way. This is my control. Okay, I'm still going to grab him even though he's too big for me to actually use it to pull him. Okay, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, don't you step yet. We're working fast motion here. I'm going to turn him. Okay, now I can attack his ribs. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just give him something to think about. Smack in the face. Okay? Come around behind him because he's so much bigger than I am. I'm going to have to reach up around. So I'm going to grab him by the face, and see, he's already falling. Twist. Okay, and see where he lands now? All right, see where his head is? Right on my knee. I'm hitting my own hand, by the way, so thank you. That's called hammer and anvil, using a solid object against, placing his head between a hard and a hard object. Now, I could have just done it real quick and dropped him. But if he's being aggressive, I want to make sure he can't get back up. That's the qualification of a good technique, is if he can't get back up when I'm done, so I can, at my leisure, or run, that's what you got to do. So this, all this is set up for this. This is the strike. This is the damage. I'm actually going to turn his head and pin it on my knee, and I'm going to aim for the side of his head. I'm going to aim for the side of his neck, all right? From here, if he's here, I can simply do this. If he's kneel, okay? If he's kneeling, and he's down here kneeling, he hasn't come all the way around, all I have to do is this. That's a neck crank. He can't move his back, and I go like this. All right, if I go like this, right, and I push, your neck is, your head is on a little swivel, a pin, with muscles and bones. And guess what? Those little muscles and bones can be broken very easily. So controlling his head is what I'm looking at. So when he's bigger than me, he's above me, all I'm going to do is, I'm using his height now, thank you, against him. I'm pulling him into me. Usually you don't want someone falling into you. But I'm allowing him, pulling him into me, allowing him to slide down me. And now I'm going to use my legs, which I can't move very well. So I'm going to use my legs as the hammer and anvil. All right? And I can get my back, my shoulders, my into that. Relax. There's always one in the crowd. All right. I've gotten the speed. Remember, the block is basically this, right here. Okay? That's my block. This is to make sure it stays out of the way.
Wait a minute. So you miss him. He misses you because
right.
He ducked. And then you push his arm out of the way.
Push it out of the way?
That arm, because he just threw a punch. Be that easy to move.
Okay. Stick your arm out and tense it. Don't hit me. Okay, tense it. Tight as you can. I've just said my sidestep. Tighten it up as much as you can. Don't let me move it. This is just with the flick now. Don't let me move you. Don't move. You're as tight as a rock. You can't move, right?
Go ahead, hit me.
You've already sized.
Just like hit him here?
Watch. Stand right there and watch me. Stand a little bit farther back. All right, I'm going to show you the technique. It's called a swatting block. Okay? Contact, push.
So it's here.
Now, once you got here, you're using your chest muscles and your arm muscles as a flick.
Okay. You all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, that's a push. You want it's a swat.
Like this? You're turning red. No. Okay.
You're standing here.
I'm okay. Standing here.
This is where it'd be if you can't, you know.
Okay.
You want to be right here. So you're at a 45 to him.
Okay.
Okay. So the first one comes in. Now, this makes sure it stays there in control.
All right.
Once you've got his body turned.
And you then know. You. Yeah.
Okay.
He's flinching with that one because I did that to him last week. He's like, oh, that. I didn't actually touch him. He's just like, oh, my gosh.
Thank you.
Oh, we're going to weaponize.
You're a good sport, by the way.
Now, that one block is this. He's taking that reflex, and he's flinching already. Taking that reflex to doing this. Okay? From that one block, now relax. I'm not actually going to hurt you. I'm going to here. From here, without doing anything else, I got right here. Okay?
Yep.
I got here, which is dangerous because you don't have control. You have to be really sure that works. Okay? I got here. I got here. I can attack here. Now, notice I'm working to the outside. Eli, put your arms out like this, okay? Turn over here so she can get a good pick. No, turn towards me. This is the kill box. I'm in the kill box. He has all his weapons to use against me. He can now use his superior height to overpower me, okay? I can be in trouble, okay? So the idea is I want to work to the outside one way or the other. And while I'm working to the outside, I want to keep your feet still. All right, the principle of twist and shout is this. See how his hips are turned, his shoulders are turned, they're not in line with his hips. His spine is twisted. Once he's done that, I can pull him off his balance. Now, right now, I'm holding him up. He's leaning against me. If I take a step back, he's going down. If I allow him to slide down, I'm actually going to control his face one way or the other, right? From here, I can do a neck crank, which is dangerous but nasty. I can just do here and just, right? Except I'm going to go like this, right? You want to be insulting, you go smack, leave me alone. Now, I've had a lot of experience with this. You're going to have to practice this, but it's basic. The idea is to stay out of the zone of the kill zone. You always want to work your way around. Now, if he keeps on moving with me, if I step out around him and he keeps on coming around this way, no, the other way, like follow me around like you're trying to get me with the other side. You can keep the circle going, but now you're wasting energy. He started catching up, so I just shifted and allowed him to continue with it and then came up behind him. Now, the strike you didn't see was this one. It's coming up between the legs.
Oh,
there's two things you can attack from the back and by the between the legs. It's the testicles the long way, or you're aiming for the tailbone. Now, to do damage to the tailbone is pretty tucked in there by your muscles of your cheeks. So to actually damage the tailbone, you have to have the back arched. And it's more attackable when they're on the ground. But any shot to the groin, typically, especially with guys, is like, oh! By the way, women,
we got
it still hurts. Because there's a lot of nerves and stuff and everything involved in it. It still hurts. It doesn't have quite the same effect, but it still hurts. So poor Eli here has made the mistake of trying to hit me. Now, if he goes low, like right here, okay, except you're going to be going like this, okay, and up a bit, okay, same motion again. So instead of this, I'm just doing, okay, now in actuality, if I go like this, I'm still going to step in. I'm going to watch. I'm going to control it so he can't come back and elbow me. He still has this arm, right? I still have to worry about that. But if I got him like this, try to hit me with the other arm. Go ahead. Come on, come on. Come on, try to hit me. I'm hiding. I'm actually hiding behind his sides. I have his arm here. I know where he is. I'm hiding in here. Okay? He's going to have to try to hit me over his own. Even if he manages to curl it around, his punch is going to be minimum. If I just go like this, I'm going to still get it. And all I have to do is that. You are definitely going to earn this. All right. There's one simple technique I want to show you. There's a precursor to actually becoming hit. He's getting animated. He's getting in my face. He's going the signs that he's going to try to hit me. This is a breaker. Now, I picked this up from a technique from some guy on the video. Now, the thing is, my specialty is picking out what works. Now, he was using this as a demonstration for his what he calls the shredding technique. He did something similar to what I do by twist and shout, except he works at clawing at the back. That's his whole technique. But to demonstrate it, he did what we call a face wipe. Now, the thing is, he didn't realize it, but every time he did this, it worked. It's a technique in itself that he missed. He's getting animated. Rah, 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 you get animated with me. He's got to get animated. Get animated with me. All right? I'm not sticking my fingers in his eyes. I'm just wiping my hand, and I wash my hands, I told him. I'm wiping my hand across his nose and his face and his eyes. And then I'm backing, as he backs up, I'm using the other hand. It has the effect of like, what the, every time. Now, if I did it to him again, he'd have the same response. Now, you can do that, wipe, you know. All right, leave me alone. I don't want to fight. I'm just playing right now. You don't want me serious. Right? He comes in. I'm going to attack him. Now, that given said, a lot of fights happen where I just, right? All of a sudden, it comes out of the blue. Haymaker, this side. You know, I remember Haymaker, like big one. Okay. This is called the supported elbow. You're coming in here. You're protecting your head, your neck, your shoulder, your face. Haymaker. Okay? Now, anytime someone punches you, except for a straight punch, you want to step into the punch. It's counterintuitive. Slow haymaker. I've just blocked and hit him. Okay. That bunch of muscles there hurts. Okay. Now, if he does that once, and I got him here, and he tries to hit me with this hand, I just turn. All right. Now, there's variations of the, all right, you can do it next to me, variations of the supported elbow. You're starting from here. Do what I do. All right? You're coming in, and you're locking your thumb into your elbow here as you're coming in and cupping your ear. All right? This is just at your chin level, and you're crouching a little bit. This is your weapon. This is your safety. All right? You can use it this way. Again, or you can switch over to this side. This is what they call the Batman's cape. Or I call it self-love. All right? That's the same thing. You can go a little bit lower if you want, like this. Okay? But what is it doing? It's protecting my face, my chin, my neck, my side of my head. Now, if he comes at me real fast and he's trying to overwhelm me and I just... okay? I'm not going to take more than a couple blows that way, all right, because he's just overwhelming. But from here, that simple, whack. He's flailing around. I just step in, I step in, I step in. Get a little distance. The other one is just the straight elbow. This is very good because this is a weapon in itself. I block his punch. I can use that as a weapon. But it also protects me from the first punch, second punch. Go first punch, second punch. First punch, second punch. See, he's flinching already. So even then, I can still come over the top. Right? This is the single elbow. It's not as strong. It's not going to take this big, wild haymaker. Okay? But it's a quicker movement. Right? Then there's the shield, which is... Okay. Some of us can't get, they say, get your elbows in, tucked in, because I can't, my shoulders don't work that way. But the idea is to block it all with your elbows and your arms. They're all variations. And the other one is holding my baseball cap on. Okay. He's coming over with a hand like this. Okay, that hand to a wild, over-the-top haymaker. He's going to come down here. I'm going to take some shot to my forearm, my head, but I'm not going to have my head. It's still going to be on my shoulders. And as he slides off, Well, I can't. As the arm goes away, okay, I'm following it. Okay? So if he comes in a big haymaker and he's coming down, I'm following it. Punch coming out, I'm blocking. Punch coming in, I'm following it back. To me, that those are real easy principles to learn. Okay? I'm not stepping away from, I'm stepping outside his punch, but I'm not stepping away from the big ones. I'm stepping into them. Relax. It's okay. You're doing very well. I'm always stepping into him. And the thing is, it's counterintuitive. The thing is, where is the momentum of his arm or my arm when I'm coming here? It's out here, right? If he was to try to step away from that, right, try to step back, see how long he's into that. Now, all you do is just step towards me when I do that. Okay? So you're actually safer getting in closer to the strike. The only time that doesn't work is a straight punch. That you have to deflect. And even then, just rolling your shoulders, throw a punch at me.
Wait, which way?
Straight punch.
Okay.
Okay? You're going to be real, actually, if I don't move, you're going to hit me. Okay? Yep. Now do it again. Okay, that's the block, okay? If he does catch me, no, right here.
Okay.
No, hit me. Not hard, but hit me. A little harder. Little harder. All right, that's good. One more time. That's all you can do. The thing is, my stance is bladed. Right, it's a natural stance. I just take simple steps. I'm not doing any fancy footwork. Now, right now, Eli's standing there, and his strong point in this stance is this way. I can push him a considerable amount of degree out of, and he's not going to fall over. Except now he's kind of like, but if I go like this, he has to take a step back to recover. Okay, that's the weak and strong of his stance. Now, if you 45 degree of stance, you've changed that some. It's like you bring your heel here and go like this, then take a little step out. Okay, so you're angled. Okay, that allows you to get your hips into stuff, hips and shoulders. My favorite. I can't help it. To me, that screams target. The idea is when you're attacking this part. Now, when I've got his twisted, okay, he has no balance, no matter how he's standing. And all I gotta do is pull just a little bit. And right now, he's leaning on me to stay up and let him slide down. And if he falls, he's gonna fall with his spine twisted. Now, I know I'm giving you a lot of information, and you're not gonna be able to really practice it. We can get together later and we'll pick somebody else to beat on. So your basic blocks are a swatting block. It's like you're swatting at flies. Like move your head, swat at flies. Swat at flies. Okay? This, it's swat here. This is your actual block. This is making sure the fist continues going past you. This is setting up a barrier and then control. Now with his size, I can't do a regular pull, because I can't get enough around his elbow to really get a good grip. I mean, I could go, but my hands are not as strong as they used to be. But I can do this. Okay. Now, once I have him twisted from here, I'm just going to step in. Get ready. Okay. Get that little stutter. Reach around. Grab the chin. Grab it. Turn him into my knee. Flat-handed against his face right now, against my knee, is going to splay his nose, split it. So, thank you. I'm going to pick on somebody else.
Okay.
The idea is these blocks, yes, thank you. Let's have, I don't think he realized what he was in for even after I explained it to him. All right? And all the thumps you heard, those were controlled and minimum. Just enough contact that he knew it was there. Now imagine if I did that overhand strike to his shoulder and I carried it down to my sternum. He would not be able to, his knees would fall. Yes?
I have a random question. What do you do if somebody bigger than you, mm-hmm. like Eli in comparison to me, mm-hmm. wraps their arms around your whole body?
you're in it. But that's where you really need to practice the first three first. But if someone wraps around, all right, I need a bigger, Eli, you can wrap your arms around me. You can beat me now for a change. You notice I'm also wearing street clothes because this is what you're going to be fighting and what you're going to be fighting. Wrap your arms around me in a bear hug. No, lower. You went too high, I'm going to be able to get out. See, too high, you're going to.
Okay.
All right. So you want to control my elbows. So you're going to wrap around low, there, right there. Control my elbows. All right. Now, if he lift me up. I'm going up, all right? What you want to do is as soon as you feel contact, you want to spread out back a little bit like this and low. Now, try to pick me up. Try. Come on. Quick, quick. Harder. Quick. Come on. Pick me up. Now, see how he regripped. The minute he regrips, I'm going for low-hanging fruit. All right, that's pain. That's not damage. That's pain to get us. I got your attention.
Okay.
Smack. Elbow. I'm going to step around, and while his head is back up like this from the elbow, I'm going to come in with this hand, and I'm going to strike him as hard as I can into the throat. That's the finisher.
Okay.
Right? And if that doesn't take him down, I'm going to kick him until he goes down. I'm going to not let him recover. They don't want you to recover. You don't want to let him recover. Fast, hard kicks to the shin, the knees. Once you got him stumbling back and forward, and if he is going over and he's out of reach, step on his foot. He's falling over. You're stepping on his foot. What do you think's going to happen? He's going to break his ankle. Then he can't get up and follow you. Okay. So that also goes with hand grabs. All right, so we're going to stand this way. Grab one of my hands. Okay? There's a couple ways to counter these. There's all kinds of fancy ways to counter these. As long as he's not hitting me, I'm going to hit him. But if he goes to hit me with this hand, I'm going to block, okay, step in and do the strikes. All right? I'm not worried about getting this hand off me. Now, if he grabs both my hands, and he's trying to pull me into him. All right, now let's do this a little bit farther out so we don't walk into tables.
Okay.
Okay. Pull hard. Pull real hard. Like you're gonna try to grab me into a bear. Okay? I'm done. All right. Now the thing is, if I try to step back, all right, do it again one more time. Just as you pull, I'm gonna step back. All right? I'm going. All right? One more time. Now pull, wait a second, let me wait.
Okay.
Grab, I'm gonna start to pull. I'm stepping forward, I'm controlling it. Now he's going to try to re-pull. As he re-pulls, okay, and that breaks one hold. He's still got one hold of my arm. Here, okay, come around this way. Grab. Okay, what I did is I just came over and hit him with this. Okay, all I'm going to do is step in. Okay. He's already flinching like something crazy. He's like, right? Step in. Yeah. Right, so the idea is, if someone's pulling you towards them, pull towards them. The other option is this. Someone grabs both your wrists. Go this way so Megan can get it. Someone grabs both your wrists. All right, you've already done this. All right, I know where both his hands are. So if he's trying to pull me and to grab me to take me away, the only other thing I have to worry about is whether he's going to kick me or knee me. But if he's pulling, he's not trying to kick me or knee me. So I'm just going to go like this. Okay? And he's still, the thing, it's called the monkey fist. He's still going to try to pull. So he's going to pull me again. Right? Even though I've broken one hand, he's still going to hold on. It's called the monkey fist principle. In the Philippines, they trap monkeys by this way. They take a coconut and they drill a hole in it, hollow it out, take one of the nuts that they like, these little pecan-type nuts, put it inside the coconut. Take the coconut and tie it to a tree on a rope. A monkey would come along, see the coconut, stick his hand inside the hole, which his hand could just fit in, grab the nut, but his hand can't feel come out the hole with his hand clenched. Now, the amazing thing is, they won't let go of the nut. When the hunter comes, he's frantically trying to get away with it, and his hand's still in there because he won't let go of the nut. So they just come along, whack him on the head, pull the hand out, and reset the trap, and they got monkey for dinner. Same principle with this. Once he has the grabs, and I change grabs, he doesn't let go. He's still thinking, grab, pull, and the more he grabs and pulls, the more... I'm going to do. If he pulls real hard, I'm just going to let him. See, he's already flinching and tightening up because he's not going to be doing it. He's not thinking, grab him. He's thinking, oh, please, he's going to hit me. So there's low body, low gravity, lower than theirs. If they pull you, step forward and drag. If you try to step back, you're going to get pulled off your balance and forward. Simple counter to simple grabs. Now, the best counter to grab, right, this way you like, because we want everybody to see it well. You grab this hand, grab my wrist, okay? I can do a lot of things, okay? I can get fancy and do over the wrist pins. Simple one. Okay? And I want to be really nasty. I'm going to come over and I'm going to... And again, you know what follows after that, right? I know. I love it, but it works. I use what works. I have a limited arsenal, and it works. So it's, I'm going to attack the soft spots of the turtle and get him real bad. Okay? If he grabs across, now I can go like this and pin, okay? All right? All right, simply just, I'm pulling straight back, and I'm attacking right here. This is going to hurt a little bit. Hold on tight. Don't let go. Don't let go. I don't want you to let go. You're going to hold on as tight as you can. I'm serious. Hold on tight as you can. Again, come on. Hold on. Come on. Monster grip. See, you got that one better. You get a bigger grip. I've been told Ben has a monster handshake. We've already discussed how to defend against that. Mm-hmm. He's going to handshake me. He's going to try to crush the little bones in my hand. Yep. Right now, it's like, I got it, okay? Now, the key point is, see how my hand is right here? All my bones are lined up nice and neat for him to crunch between his thumb and his fingers. Okay, if I go like this, I've just shifted the posture of my fingers. Squeeze as hard as you can. Squeeze. Come on. Right. Show some strength to that. Squeeze. And if he gets annoying, he's flinched. I've already showed him what happened. You take and you rub your fingers across the tendons in the back of the inside the hand, and it starts hurting a lot, and then his hand is now loosening up a lot. Okay. Now, you're going to grab my wrist.
Okay.
We're not going to have any shirt in the way, right? Nothing to slip, okay? So he's going to have a solid grab on my arthritic wrists, okay? Yeah. This is my weak hand, by the way. I am righty, but I block with my left because I'm actually... Typically, you're faster with your left, less coordinated, but you're faster with your left, but not as strong. Your right is stronger and slower because that's your predominant hand, right? But the thing is, I want speed for my block, and this doesn't take as much coordination as some of the other stuff. So, all right, grab my wrist. Nah, you cheat. Well, you can do it that way too, but I'm going to have to be nastier.
Whatever, let's grab this.
Yeah, grab it like normal. All right. On his arm. All right. See this little group? Feel that?
Yeah.
All right. There's a little group of nerves right there. Okay. Also, there's a little tight spot right here where the muscle and skin is pretty thin over the wrist. Okay. This might hurt a little bit. I just slapped. Right. Come on. Hold on tight. Come on. Don't let go. Come on. Don't let go. And I'm just slapping him. I'm not actually hitting him. Don't let go. Okay, now, watch. Don't let go. Yeah, and I'm being nice. Believe it or not, I am being nice. Because what I would do in a real technique, if this was real, I'd be coming down like this, with my wrist right across that spot. And see my little bracelet? All right, I'm going to gently, you feel, tell me, feel that?
Yeah.
Feel that?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot more than the slap,
yeah.
Right? And from here, for me, these bigger guys, this is low-hanging fruit. Okay, hitting him here, I don't know what effect's going to be. I don't know how much his ab crunches he's done. He's got a lot more middle. I got a lot more middle than he does. He's got a lot more middle for me to get through. So it's going to take a lot of effect. Now, if I want to take him in the stomach, I'm going to do... You felt it here, right? Right? Well, the actual strike was back here. Okay. And if I wanted to be nasty, I would have, instead of using my open hand like I did, I would have used the heel of my hand. Know what's back here? Turn. Yeah. Just a little shot right there. See him flinch? I'm just touching. If I go, hammer and anvil. Now, he sees this one coming, so he's tightening up his stomach. You see what happened? He actually leaned into the strike. He can't stop it. It's set up, physics, mechanics. Thank you. Now, I might work on you some more. You'd like he's getting too flinchy. I know you didn't volunteer, but I think you... 5 minutes? Okay. Well, we got 5 minutes, so... Smaller person, you're getting attacked. Your targets are going to be this, the eyes. Okay? You can do it this way, or you can go like this. Okay? You get a 50-50 chance of getting an eye. Okay? Also, attacking the throat. Now, you see him going... I'm going up. That's a choke. That's a quick flinch. But if I go back, see the difference my hand is here? I can take it from here. He can be grab me like you get me in a like a half head. Just grab around me like this, okay? I can be here like this and go.
That's,
yeah. Just a little bit. That was nice. I stopped when I felt his neck. Right? Even being grabbed from there, you can strike from here because you just follow. I don't even have to see what he's doing. My eyes can be closed. Right here, I don't have to see what I'm doing. Okay? Attacking the side of the neck. Okay? If you're in the inside of the box, it's a cross. All right? Or here if you have to. But you see how I have to come up to get this strike from here? But this one, I don't have to. Right there. It's like quick. Okay? If I'm on the side, I'm going to attack this bone right there, that little bone. My hand is open, so it's just like, see his hand, see, watch his eyes. Watch his eyes. See him go? Like a little pinball. Oh, one more time for your sister, then you can get your sister back later. Right, why? One more time. Proper targeting, okay? The other principle is once I got him here, I want to twist his spine. See how I'm twisting his spine? His shoulders are not in line with his hips. His knees are splayed. Twist his spine, and all I have to do is take a step back, and now I got my hand hold. Okay, now he's going down because his brother went down. And once I have him here, I'm actually going to push his hat in his way, use his hat, and I'm just going to either attack his neck or his head. Well, it doesn't matter. It's pinned against my elbow. Okay? It's pinned against my knee. Smack, smack, punch, punch, overhand strike to the chest. If I want to be nasty, yeah, he's trying. Try to defend yourself against this stuff. See, now he has to fight his way up. His size is now, and I got your keys to your car. His size now is his disadvantage. All I have to do is lean over him, and if he turns, I keep on turning him in the same direction and twisting him. If he does make ground, what he did, I just pushed him out of the way, and I'm going, I'm running away. All right, so that's the basics. That's an intro. If you want to learn more, we can always settle something that we can actually learn something. We'll use the pads. I did want one more thing. Stomping. Who here has stomped on someone's foot? All right, you two gentlemen can sit down because I'm not going to use you for this. If they can't walk on it, they can't run after you. This is a 32, this is a good training advice. When you go home, empty one and use it. All right? You want to close it tight. This is the top of their foot, their thigh, their knee, their head. Okay? Proper stomp is not. Okay? Proper stomp is this. I am coming up and I am actually falling into the stump. Okay? Now that'll give you a feeling what it feels like to stomp someone's leg, the bounce. Okay? To get the proper, you want a little reward with your training? A little bit loose. This is the gratification for doing it right. Oh, you bum. Let me get another one. This was a stomp to make this. Okay. Oh, I think that one might come right off. Oh. Okay. You want it just a little loose. Okay, so you still get resistance. Pete might want to get flying objects. This is the reward for a proper stomp. Oh, making me look like a mo. Jenny, would you grab me another? Oh, okay. Well, okay. Well, yeah. Well, this is. Oh, this can be. Cap a knot. You got to get this pop because it's not fun if I don't. All right, proper stomp. I'm coming up, and as I'm coming up, I'm coming down, letting loose on this. I'm actually falling, and as I fall, I did this at home. Well, it should be, well, if it's too tight, you're going to get that, you want that bounce to feel it. To get the gratifying pop of it properly done, let's see what happens. Let's see. Yeah. Yeah, it flattened, though. It didn't pop off, but it did flatten. Right. The idea is when it's full, you get the feeling of body resistance. Stomping someone's foot is odd feeling. Stomping someone's thigh, calf, or knee. Yeah, and part of it is getting past the squeamishness about, you don't worry about hurting about them. But there's always the part that even if you're not worried about hurting about them, you're unfamiliar with the feeling, so you're kind of like flinchy. It's natural. This gets you over to flinch. Because stomps and quick kicks to the shin can end the fight, which we didn't go over, but we will next time. All right, so we got basic blocks. The idea is always step into the strikes unless they're a straight strike. Get close to a bigger opponent. Twist them. Someone pulls you, step into the pull in low stance. And remember, my favorite, you don't even have to have a tight hand. All right. Now, I was being really nice to both these guys. I didn't tense up my hand when I did the strikes. But I'm actually hitting with this part of my hand. Not this part. I'm hitting right here. Just at the muscle. So I'm getting this meat in here. So the idea is that when you hit your target, you're wrapping around. Okay? And that creates more blockage throughout the whole area. So even those little light touches, you're gonna say, like, what the heck? Hopefully no black and blue marks. You're gonna feel your arm. You're gonna feel that. It's just that like, even the slap. Now, one more quick thing, I'm running out of time. In the martial arts, they do these. Here, you know, hit me. You know why they do that? It's get your hand used to hitting something. So you get used, you can't really toughen up the back of your hand. Look, my hand's red. All right? You made my hand red from hitting you.
All right?
It gets you used to the, so you know what it is, right? So you don't go, ow.
Also reflective. You want it to be a reflex.
Yeah, you get the idea. So you're not afraid. Okay, it's gonna hurt the hit. So you hit the supported strike. And also is if I happen he blocks this part, my hand's gonna continue on into his eyes. But there's more than one thing involved. So, you know, practicing your elbows. You want that snap speed enough to, that's an effective elbow.
So is that noise being made from your elbow hitting?
My elbow hitting my
hand. Hitting your elbow.
No, right, my elbow hitting my hand. And no, this is,
that's like
this is the speed. Yeah. This is me grabbing his head and pinning it into the punch. So it serves two things when you practice these. It gets the motion in. You can elbow straight, you can elbow across, you can elbow up, you can elbow in this way, you can come in this way, you can use your forearm. So I know that's a lot of information you may not really be able to use right now, If you practice your stomp, there's one lady that she got mugged and she took a self-defense course. All she had to kick around was a single kick. And she did one thing the instructor told her to do. She set up a ball on a string, a little tennis ball, put it on a string and hung it in the middle of her laundry room. So every time she went down to do the laundry, she'd kick the ball. Armloads of laundry, she'd kick the ball. Come back, she'd kick the ball. That's all she did. Guy went to mug her, grabbed her. She kicked the living tar out of his shins and knees just from reflex. He let her go and ran away. So basic technique can really be effective. You take a ball and suspend it someplace you walk by, and every time you walk by it, you give it a kick. You set it up about just below knee level and give it a little kick. Practice kicking it without looking at it. Right? We know where our toes go. We don't actually have to look at our feet to know where our feet are going. From infancy, we've learned to walk. We don't have to look at our feet to see where they're going. I can kick that without looking at it. I can kick it right in the leg. I missed that time. I can kick it right in the leg. If I didn't miss, it wouldn't be worth the funnies. So just practicing something as simple as putting a ball up and practice kicking it every time you walk by. Getting close to your opponent. Now, these bigger guys are going to have to learn different techniques. They need to learn their bigger size to smother me. Well, the thing is, I'm going to try to avoid that. So they're going to have to learn, it's called spinning the barrel. I don't teach groundwork. I don't teach wrestling, because if I go to the ground, I'm dead, because I can't get up with the squat. Can't get up quickly. But you can study that. Boxing teaches proper footwork. Take a little boxing class. It also teaches you basic blocking. You know, they do this. They're always got their hand up here. Protect their head. You know? Quick in, quick out, because as you're coming in, he may be following another punch, following your hand in, so you're covering yourself up again. Right? They teach good body work. They teach good footwork. Things like, I will say about grappling, if it's not in the MMA and if it's not for movies, it doesn't work in the street. You get these two against me, and he decides to get me, and I go into a grappling move. What's he gonna do? He's going to come from behind me and rip my head off my shoulders because I'm tying him up in a grappling move. So I'm not going to show any compliance, pain moves, control moves, because when we're at this point, it's already past that. I'm not worrying about controlling him. I'm worrying about hurting him as much as I can so I can get away. And those simple, you say, here it comes again. It works. It's that simple, you know, from here. You know, block. You say, ah, smack. Ah, smack, smack. Ah. Just sticking your hand in your face. Those simple things work. So you pick your targets. You pick the targets of face, throat, side of the neck right here, the carotid arteries, right? You go for the low-hanging fruit. If you punch someone in the groin, punch them just below the belt. I mean, literally, just below the belt. You know why? That's where your bladder is. Have you ever been hit in the bladder? I have. It causes spasms. You can't control your urination for about a day, and it hurts like heck. That's why they wear the boxing belts way up here for boxing. You're not allowed to hit below the belt in boxing because the bladder is... Also, the muscles... When you get a hernia, do you know why you get a hernia? The muscles in your groin area are all like this, okay? Everywhere else, they're layered, okay? Groin has a single layer all like this. But what a hernia is pieces of your lower intestines poking out between the muscles because the muscles are... Well, that also means that they can't take a lot of shots very well. It's easy to do damage. So now that I've had my fun, thank you very, very, very much. Thank you very, very. Even though you did not, you were a designated volunteer. You didn't volunteer. Everybody, please go home safe.